For more on Social Security and other political matters, we're going to hear from our regular political commentators now, David Brooks of the New York Times and E.J. Dionne of the Washington Post and Georgetown University. Welcome to both of you.
Good to be here.
As we've heard, Social Security is not proving to be a cakewalk for President Bush. David Brooks, what's going on?
Well, the Republicans are cautious. The Democrats are united. They're against. The Republicans are looking for some way to get some Democrats. They know they can't do it alone. So they're looking some way to get five or six. And there are really two possible ways. One is to raise the payroll caps, which would increase taxes on the upper class to help keep the system solvent. And the second is to cut benefits on the rich. So they're just feeling themselves out, trying to explore ways to win some Democrats over. They're saying everything's on the table, and they're just trying to drag it out to some way find a way. So far, there haven't been any cracks in the Democratic Party, so we're sort of just dribbling along.
But the Treasury Secretary, Secretary Snow, suggested today that perhaps the president might have to proceed with Social Security change minus the private investment accounts.
Well, that's things you're beginning to hear from the White House. You're beginning to hear a couple things. One, minus the accounts, maybe with the accounts as an add-on, which was a Clinton idea. And the second thing you're going to be here, do it as two votes. One vote just to keep the system solvent, the benefit cuts, and then another vote on the personal accounts. So what you're seeing here is improvisation. But the problem here is they need to get it done this year. They're not going to do it next year just before an election. They're not going to do it in the 2 years before a presidential election. So they need to get a vote by September, which means they have to get a bill really within a month, and the time pressure is crushing.
E.J. Dionne, what do you make of this? This was the president's top domestic issue in his second term in his State of the Union address.
Well, I think this goes directly to that issue of whether the president had a mandate or not. And it was our friend Bill Kristol who said when Newt Gingrich proposed cuts in Medicare, that when he ran in 1994, Newt Gingrich didn't say, well, I'm doing this so I can cut Medicare. Similarly, President Bush did talk about private accounts. He did not talk at all about the cuts that might be entailed in Social Security reform, nor did he talk about the massive borrowing that creating private accounts might require. And so you're looking at these polls, and the public is saying, wait a minute, you know, those of us who reelected him, well, a lot of us didn't vote for him for that reason. So I think that's one of the president's problems. The second problem is the underlying case he's making is very hard to make, which is that there is a crisis in Social Security that is so deep that it requires this sort of radical action. Most of the country doesn't believe that. Indeed, his own tax cuts, if kept into effect long term, are actually a much bigger hole in our federal budget over time than the size of the Social Security problem. And I think Democrats are saying, look, Bush says everything is on the table, but everything isn't on the table. He's not willing to revisit his tax cut, his core tax cut. And until he's willing to do that, why should they negotiate? And I don't think they will.
Well, David Brooks, what do you think in this 60 days, 2 months of political whistle-stopping about Social Security that we're going to see, barnstorming by all sorts of top administration officials? Do you think we're going to hear about precisely what is on and what's off the table right now, or is there going to be some more opening about what they might do?
Well, I think there's going to be a fair bit of opening. I think the thing you hear is this. In the Senate, you hear anxiety. In the White House, you hear commitment. They say, I know the public doesn't want this. The public wants low taxes and high spending. The fact is we just can't afford this system. So the president is totally committed. He's going ahead. You hear total commitment from the White House, no backing off at all. And I think what you're beginning to hear from people like me in the pundit class is that, you know, this is a tough sell. On the other hand, if we do nothing, then we get an entitlement problem, which is just going to be terrible. In 15 years, we'll have to find every year $200 billion, $300 billion to pay for this. If we don't do this, we're never going to do Medicare. Then we really face catastrophic budget consequences. So the costs of doing nothing have to be raised again versus the costs of doing something, which are substantial.
But as EJ says, at some point, don't you have to close the loop with the tax cut? I mean, that's
right.
Isn't that part of what's causing the problem here?
Yeah, and I think the White House has been pretty open, at least in private, that, as I say, there are two things you can do. You can cut benefits or raise taxes, or you can do a mixture of both. And raising the payroll caps, which would be a raise in caps on rich people, is essentially compensating for the tax cuts. They don't say it. They'll never admit it in public. But that's on the table.
How else do you judge what's happened to the president in this first month of his second term? EJ, what else is going on?
Well, you know what's strange is that in so many ways this is the best and the worst of times for the president, because some of the developments in the Middle East are very positive. And I've been talking to opponents of the war, people in Congress who oppose the war, and they say, look, we have to applaud what's going on in Lebanon. We have to be happy about what's happening in the Palestinian-Israeli talks. At least things seem to be moving partly in the right direction. And, of course, you had the Iraqi election. If the president had not decided to pursue this Social Security fix or to do it the way he's done it, I think he would be in excellent shape. But his insistence on doing a Social Security fix that I think is broadly unpopular and actually plays to the Democrats' best argument, which is that they believe in a certain amount of security for people to, in a very complicated economic time, I think he's taken away from what might otherwise be a pretty good time for him.
David, do you think the president's going to concentrate more on the world overseas, because in a second term, a president just can't get as much done within these shores?
That's what they tend to do. He swore he wouldn't do it, but he may be forced to do it. One of the ways the Social Security debate is being influenced, by the way, is all these exciting events going on overseas, not only in Lebanon, but also in places like Egypt, where, you know, Hosni Mubarak is at least talking democracy. It's distracted attention. The entire Republican street, if you want to put it that way, is totally excited by what's going on in the Middle East. They see it as vindication for the war in Iraq, just as a historic moment. So they're not paying attention to Social Security. They're not energized about it, whereas a lot of people in the Democratic Party are very energized. So if you want to measure the passion level, it's all in the Democratic Party when you get to Social Security.
What is going on in the Democratic Party, E.J. Dionne?
Well, I think the Democrats believe this is their best argument, and they are not going to give in because they don't trust the president or the way the Republican Congress has worked. Whenever a bill goes into a conference these days, you know, an orange comes in from the Senate, an apple comes in from the House, and it comes out as an elephant. In other words, what the conference produces often has nothing to do with the compromise that was agreed to. So there's great reluctance even to enter negotiations because they don't think they're playing with a straight deck. They think the deck is stacked.
I would say, though, there are some political risks for the Democrats. One, there are a lot of young people who aren't counting on Social Security and who are very comfortable in the markets and like the personal accounts. The Democrats do face some risk of that. The second risk the Democrats face is being the party of no, of offering nothing. And if they emerge as that, and we've got this huge entitlement problem, which simply cannot go away, then that's, you just can't win offering nothing.
David Brooks of the New York Times, E.J. Dionne of the Washington Post, and Georgetown University, thanks once again to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.